Jesus hath fled. Fear not, I am with thee.
Solomon has died, and Rehoboam is in power. And that's where we find ourselves on this broadcast of Through the Bible. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, welcoming you aboard the Bible bus for a front row seat to this leadership change in Israel and the consequences of some very poor political decisions. Now, before we get started, I want to share a message that our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, recorded to be played long after he was welcomed into heaven. So listen carefully, and I think you'll be amazed at how well it speaks to every new generation as long as we're on the air.
The Bible bus continues to roll down the highway of time, and you see no one at the driver's seat. Actually, the same driver is there who has been there all the time, the Holy Spirit. He is the real teacher who alone can take the things of Christ and show them unto you. Through the modern miracle of the magnetic tape, we were able to leave these introductions, as well as the entire 2.5 and 5 year programs of going through the Bible. In fact, there are enough tapes of many books of the Bible that could keep us on the air for many years without repeating a tape. Now it's up to you to keep this Bible teaching ministry on the air, not only here, but throughout the world. When I was well stricken in years, there was yet much land to be taken. That's still true. There are many other languages into which this program can be translated. It's up to you now. There is one thing I cannot do. That is, read your letters. That's a thrill that I shall miss.
You know, Dr. McGee really did love reading your letters, and I do as well. I know he'd be amazed that since his departure, we've expanded to broadcast God's Word in more than 120 languages and dialects worldwide. So let's celebrate God's blessing over this ministry by sharing this letter from a listener of our Farsi language broadcast in Iran. I am a teacher at a woman's adult school, and since 2013, I have regularly listened to this program. I have formed a small group at my school that listens together and talks afterwards. Recently, I feel the Lord has opened my eyes, and I converted to Christ. I'm so eager to hear from the Lord, but sadly, we do not have access to the Bible. Thank you for helping us hear from it. Please pray for us. Many women are interested in knowing Jesus, but fear their husbands will leave them if they abandon the religion of their family. It has happened to many before, and they feel powerless in our culture without the support of the man in the house. Remember, these women are in Iran, in a Muslim country, listening to Through the Bible. We need to be praying for them. And as Dr. McGee suggested, financially support the Bible bus as well, as it continues to reach God's whole world with his word. So why don't you visit us at ttb.org/give, or just give us a call at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that the broadcasting of your word reaches into hearts and homes where the Bible isn't allowed. We pray that more people will be changed by the truth that they hear about Jesus. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now today, friends, we return back to 2 Chronicles, and we're putting in here today at chapter 10. And we've come now to the second and last division of 2 Chronicles. In the first 9 chapters, it was Solomon's reign. And the most important thing Solomon did was to build a temple and to dedicate it, put it into the service of God. And about 6 chapters was given over to that. That was the emphasis God put upon it, the reign of Solomon. Because we're seeing in the books of Chronicles God's viewpoint, the things that God emphasizes and the thing that he noted. And sometimes it's not always good. He notes the bad sometime, and we'll see that, I think, today. Now we've come to the last division from chapters 10 through 36, and we have the division of the kingdom, and the emphasis now is upon the history of Judah. That is the line of David. The emphasis is not here upon the 10 tribes. What is it that is emphasized here in the history of Judah? Well, what we have here are 5 great periods of reformation and revival. And we want to pay particular attention to that because God emphasizes that in this section. Now, today we'll probably get to the 1st great period of reformation and revival under Asa. But now let's go back to chapter 10, and we find here Solomon has died, and now his son, Rehoboam, came to the throne. And I read chapter 10, verse 1. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for to Shechem were all Israel come to make him king. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was in Egypt, whither he had fled from the presence of Solomon the king, heard it, that Jeroboam returned out of Egypt. Now, we do not have that in Chronicles, but back in Kings, we were told that this man, Jeroboam, attempted to lead a rebellion even before the death of Solomon, and he had to flee for his life, and he went down into the land of Egypt, and he stayed there to the death of Solomon, and now he returns and, of course, continues to raise up the rebellion in the kingdom. Now, if this man Rehoboam had been wise and his judgment had been a little bit more mild and modest, he could have saved the splitting of the kingdom, the division that came about. But he did not. Now, we find that with Jeroboam back in the land, we read, and they sent and called him. So Jeroboam and all Israel came and spake to Rehoboam, saying, thy father made our yoke grievous. In other words, the taxes were really the cause of all the dissension. I do not know whether you are aware of it or not. Not only here, but probably the thing that has caused the revolution and rebellion and the downfall of more nations than anything else is this matter of taxes. It's what brought the Roman Empire to its knees. It is what produced the American Revolution. Taxation without representation was our problem, and it brought about the Boston Tea Party and so on. And if taxes keep going up as they are, it's time for another Tea Party, because that is the thing that ultimately will wreck any people. And unfortunately, our representatives in the state and in our national government just don't seem to think that's the problem. They just continue to raise taxes. Now, that was the problem here. Solomon had put on a tremendous building program. It was very impressive. Not only did he build the temple, but we're told in Kings he had built all sorts of palaces and buildings. It was a great building program. Well, that had to be paid for, and as a result, why, it caused an increase in taxes. Now, that gave Jeroboam here a lever whereby he could make a protest, and he came in to Rehoboam, and he said, now, look, your father made our yoke grievous. Now, therefore, ease thou somewhat the grievous servitude of thy father and his heavy yoke that he put upon us, and we'll serve thee. Now, Jeroboam actually is very mild himself in his approach. He said, if you will reduce taxes, then we'll go along with you, but we won't unless you do. And so Rehoboam, he said unto them, come again unto me after 3 days. The people departed. That was a fair thing. It would give him an opportunity to look at what the indebtedness was, what was the wise thing to do. And the wise thing would have been to reduce taxes. And verse 6, and King Rehoboam took counsel with the old man that had stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, saying, what counsel give ye me to return answer to this people? They spake unto him, saying, if thou be kind to this people and please them and speak good words to them, They'll be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel which the old man gave him, and took counsel with the young man that were brought up with him that stood before him. Now, this was definitely a breach here on the part of Rehoboam. He should have followed the wisdom of these men who had been counselors during the reign of Solomon. They knew what the situation was. But he turned to the young man, and unfortunately, why, the young man are saying, well, don't ease up. We want this picnic to continue. All of us have got public jobs, and those of us that are not eating out of the public trough, why, we'd like very much to get in a trough also, so let's don't reduce taxes. Now, will you notice, verse 10, the young man that were brought up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou answer the people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it somewhat lighter for us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. In other words, my dad came down on you heavy. I'm going to come down on you much heavier than that. For whereas my father put a heavy yoke upon you, I'll put more to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I'll chastise you with scorpions. That was probably the most foolish thing that this young man Rehoboam could have done. Now, verse 12, so Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day as the king bade, saying, come again to me on the third day. Now, he gave them this awful judgment of the young man, and the king hearkened not unto the people. You see, the other counselors said, actually, your father did overtax them. Now, it's time to stop this building program, and it's time we stop all this government spending. And the time has come to reduce the taxes. And by the way, have you ever heard of any governments ever reduce taxes? Have you ever heard of any of our politicians? They all go into office going to reduce taxes. I think I've voted for a half a dozen presidents, and every one of them is going to reduce taxes. Mine keeps going up. And I've been voting for governors, and I've been voting for mayors, and voting for different ones. And they all promise, but they never keep it. I never heard of a government reducing taxes. It always continues to go up. And that's exactly what was going to happen here. It's interesting, human nature never changes. And so, actually, what happened, it was this. Verse 16, and when all Israel saw that the king would not hearken unto them, the people answered the king. Israel now is really the 10 tribes, and Judah is Judah and Benjamin, and sometimes they're used interchangeably. In other words, sometimes the southern kingdom is called Israel. God looks at them as a unity, but they were divided over this. And so we read here in verse 16, they say, now what portion have we in David? And we have none inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to your tents, O Israel. And now, David, see to thine own house. So all Israel went to their tents. And as for the children of Israel that dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. Then King Rehoboam sent Hadoram, that was over the tribute, and the children of Israel stoned him with stones that he died. In other words, Rehoboam sent a tax gatherer up there to gather taxes. They stoned him to death. But King Rehoboam made speed to get him up to his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. Rehoboam didn't realize how incensed these people were. And now we read verse 19, and Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. And that is up to the time 2 Chronicles was written. Now Rehoboam goes back to Jerusalem, and he finds out that his kingdom has really been cut down quite a bit. And we find here that he gathered of the house of Judah and Benjamin 180,000 chosen men, which were warriors, to fight against Israel, that he might bring the kingdom again to Rehoboam. Now, will you notice? He's doing again a very foolish thing. He's attempting now to have this internal warfare. This is a civil war now that's taking place. Now we read, but the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, speak unto Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all Israel in Judah and Benjamin, saying, thus saith the Lord, ye shall not go up, nor fight against your brethren. Return every man to his house, for this thing is done of me. And they obeyed the words of the Lord and returned from going against Jeroboam. Now God intervened. And so the thing that Rehoboam does now is he attempts to build fortifications to protect himself from the northern kingdom, that which had been part of the kingdom of David and Solomon, now is lost to him and becomes his enemy. And because of a very foolish decision he made by listening to the young men rather than to the wise counselors of Solomon. Verse 14. Now we find that the priests that were serving in the north, a northern kingdom, they all come south. Why? Well, verse 14, for the Levites left their suburban area, that is, they were given cities, you know, and their possession, and came to Judah and Jerusalem, for Jeroboam and his sons had cast them out from executing the priest's office unto the Lord. So all the priests that were in the 10 tribes now come south, those that were to serve at the temple. And he ordained him priests for the high places, for the demons. And this is something to note here. This is demon worship, and for the calves which he had made. And we're told back in Kings that he made one calf, put at Bethel, one golden calf put up at Samaria, and the people worship that. Now, back of this idolatry is Satan. This is Satan worship. I had the privilege of going to the seven churches of Asia, and you'll recall that the Lord said to the church in Pergamum that you dwell where Satan's throne is. His headquarters is there. And this is a city given over to idolatry. As no place probably has been given over to idolatry. Back of this idolatry, there was demonism. And that is what it was. Demonism manifests itself in many different ways. Now we read, and after them, out of all the tribes of Israel, such as set their hearts to seek the Lord God of Israel, came to Jerusalem to sacrifice unto the Lord God of their fathers. Now, there were some still faithful to God that would come out of the northern 10 tribes and come to Jerusalem to worship. But Jeroboam now is drawing them away into idolatry. So they strengthened the kingdom of Judah and made Rehoboam the son of Solomon strong 3 years. For 3 years they walked in the way of David and Solomon. Now, here is something that is recorded here, and you'll notice it's mention of several of these men. And because it's in the Bible, it is the judgment of a great many. That means God approved of this. No, God records this, friend, to let you know he doesn't approve of it. Now, this man, Rehoboam, did wrong in not listening to the counselors of Solomon and listening to the young man. He was wrong in trying to carry on warfare against the northern kingdom. Now, he's wrong in this. What is he doing now? Verse 21, Rehoboam loved Maacah, the daughter of Absalom, above all his wives and his concubines, for he took 18 wives and 80 concubines and begat 28 sons and 80 daughters. And we're told here in verse 23, he desired many wives. Now, this is the thing God condemned, you see. And this is recorded because this is history. This is what he did. And this is one of the many things he did that God judged him for, and that he was brought low because of it. Now we're told here in verse 1 of chapter 12. Listen to this. It came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. So Rehoboam led an apostasy. And what he's doing is wrong. God says he's forsaken his law. And God records what he did. He took all his wives and concubines, and he brought judgment upon the kingdom. My friend, God never approved of that at all. I think the most striking illustration of all is Abraham. There are those who say, "Oh, look at Abraham. He took Hagar, and he had this boy Ishmael, and he got by with it." He didn't get by with it. In fact, he hasn't got by with it today. What's the real problem in the Mideast? Well, the big problem there has to do with the sons of Abraham. You have Israel, and you have the Arab. But who is the Arab? Well, an Arab guide took me down personally to the city of Jericho. I wanted someone that knew something about it to take me there. And this man, a very brilliant fellow, by the way, and he had worked with Sir Charles Marston, also Miss Kellum, in their excavations, and he was very helpful to me. And I just made the statement about the fact that we were talking about that land, that God had given it to Abraham and his offspring. And this Arab smiled, and he said this, looking me straight in the eye. He said to me, "Dr. McGee, I'm as much a son of Abraham as any Jew that's living today." And you want to know something? He was right. He goes back to Ishmael. He boasted of the fact that he was an Ishmaelite and he could trace his ancestry back to Ishmael. That's where he went. Did God approve of that? No. God records it as history, and he lets you judge whether he disapproved of it. There never came a blessing in it, and it has been a thorn in the flesh down through the centuries. God condemns these things. Now, God records it here, but he records it just as he recorded the rebellion of Jeroboam and the unwise decision Rehoboam made. It looks like Rehoboam just wasn't good at making decisions. Now, what does God permit now? God, for the first time, opens that kingdom for the invasion of a major nation. What happens? It came to pass that in the fifth year of King Rehoboam, Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem because they had transgressed against the Lord. That is the thing. And what happened? Well, he took Jerusalem and he lugged away quite a bit of the gold and the wealth of that kingdom. And what happened? You remember the shields of gold that David had brought and Solomon put there? Well, in verse 10, "Instead of which, King Rehoboam made shields of brass and committed them to the hands of the chief of the guard that kept the entrance of the king's house." This man now has to begin to bring in something inferior. No longer do they have shields of gold. They have shields of brass. What has happened? The judgment of God is upon them because of their sin. All right, we're going to leave off right there today. We'll pick right up there next time. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Well, God's word is clear. He doesn't tolerate sin, and he'll judge those who engage in it. We'll hear more about this subject next week as the Bible Bus continues its journey through 2 Chronicles. I hope you can join us. We'd also love to have you invite a family member or a friend to hop aboard as well. Just direct them to ttb.org/listen for the many ways that they can hear us. Now, as we break from our daily program of Through the Bible for the Weekend, I invite you to join me for Dr. McGee's Sunday sermon titled, Two Letters, Two Replies, Two Results. This great study is based on 2 Kings 19 and 20 and 2 Chronicles 32. To see if your station carries the Sunday sermon or listen online, just visit us at ttb.org. Well, that's all for today. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here on Monday, saving a seat on the Bible Bus just for you.
Jesus made it all. Unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. white as snow.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.